Late in the evening, November 5th, 1937, in a characteristically drab back office of the Reich Chancellery, a small, untalented, failed painter with an overcompensatingly incomplete mustache held a secret meeting with his council of misfit boys to come up with a plan to create more living space for the German people at the small price of invading and terrorizing its neighboring countries. However, back in the A-plot at California Polytechnic, right down the street, Augie Eckhart and Lilith von Hitzler began their covert transportation of Lilith's vanishing box to the, God help me, auditorium, where it would be used in front of an audience at the opening night of Augie's play. So here they were, two travel buddies beating out ceaselessly into the night until...
What was that?
Hopefully nothing, just keep walking.
Right, right. Hopefully nothing. Countless dead bodies popping up around campus, ungrateful understudies giving me the cold shoulder. Rewrites, but that noise was hopefully nothing.
The faster we get in, the faster we get out. Haven't you ever stolen anything before?
Do I look like someone who's stolen anything before?
You mean aside from the Jewish identity?
Oh, that doesn't count. I just meant important stuff like money or casual drugs.
Glad to see your priorities are so well adjusted.
Excuse me for being a morally upright person.
You're excused.
Wasn't me. That's what you call hopefully nothing and what I call we're being followed.
Oh, like you've never been followed before.
Can't say I have.
Aw, welcome. Here, just hold my lab coattails and stay close to the wall.
Wow, I knew danger was an aphrodisiac.
Huh, I'm sure anyone who ever played single elimination Tasmanian death trivia and lived to tell would beg to differ.
Are you saying that you have?
Do you think I'd be able to easily moonlight as a male administrative serviceman if I hadn't?
No? Anyway, I was more just saying there are some people who take lab coat tail holding as a pretty intimate action.
You mean 12-year-olds?
And older.
Interesting point. I suppose if you'd never held someone's lab coat tail at a young age, it would appear as an intimate, desirable activity. That is, until you try it and see it for what it is, wrinkling someone's perfectly pressed industry standard uniform and looking like a sad baby duck following around its imprinted on mother figure.
Yeah, when it's put that way, it's not that hot.
That being said, I absolutely see how it could make someone feel safer wandering around a closed school attempting to avoid getting murdered by a part-time butler, part-time murderer.
Shh!
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Eyes behind us, make sure no one's coming, hold on tight, try not to wrinkle my lab coat. I'll lead us to the lab. I know these halls like the Da Nang River system.
Sure. Well, what do I do if I see something?
Tap me on the shoulder, whisper to get my attention, give a light tug to my lab coat tail. Without wrinkling it. We really don't have time to be arguing over semantics here.
I mean, it's less arguing and more clarifying.
Hold. Was that you?
No.
It was.
Okay. We're here. Everything should be... Augie? Did that sound like it was coming from...
Coming from inside the lab?
Again, it was.
Oh god, oh fuck, oh jeez, oh no! It's getting hot in here, huh? Are you hot? I'm hot.
Augie.
I think we should go and cool off, maybe.
Augie.
Like a fountain or a public pool or...
Hey!
Oh god.
Scottish Highland demi-monks have been practicing slap meditation for years. I never partook, being there on a student visa and all, but they allowed me to audit their 1931 Christmas retreat. Are you okay?
Yeah, just realizing I may need to take a weekend with those monks. God, your late 20s are weird. Okay, I'm starting to think maybe we turn around and reconvene in the morning.
All right, let's do this.
Where did you get a gun?
It was issued to me at Ellis Island when I arrived. Why, didn't you get one?
No.
They must really be feeling the effects of the budget cuts this year. Now, if you'll excuse me, I advise any intruders in this room to back the fuck up!
Ugh. Guns, threats, this is the least interesting way to go forward.
And for the third time in 5 minutes, unfortunately, it was.
The Vanishing Act by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. Part 11. The bottle.
Lilith? Is everything... Oh, God, that's what they sound like. Okay, I'm here. Lilith, are you okay? Sorry I was late. I was looking for a weapon for myself.
Oh, Augie, thank God you're here. I've been hit.
Griffson?
You know this guy?
He's my roommate.
I'm his best friend.
And just what exactly is he doing here, Augie?
How am I supposed to know? I've been in tech. I haven't spoken to anyone but you in 3 days.
Augie, thank God you're here. I always hoped when I died it'd be either at your hand or in your arms. I don't think it's a surprise how happy I am that it's the latter.
You're not shot.
I think I know if I was shot or not, lady.
Not my name.
Are you sure?
Yes, and you're fine.
Oh yeah? And how would you know? Augie, I'm getting cold.
Because you fell, and I've had perfect aim since placing first at the Loxley Games back in 32. I aimed at the open window. I assume you crawled in for reasons I'll interrogate you about. Now!
Well, maybe it ricocheted! Augie, is there anything you want me to ask God? I think I have an open channel right now, and there's no waiting line. Or queue, as your ancestors say.
Where are you hit?
Seems like an incredibly vague question, but for you, my friend, I'll ask it. Lord, where are
you? On the body? You said you were shot. Where were you shot?
Oh, see, we gotta work on your specificity, old sport. We've talked about this. Specificity is the key to any communication. You know who said that?
Hannah Stone?
You?
No, yes. And I'm shot in the leg?
You're fine. Get up.
Get up? Absolutely not, Augie. I need you to clean out the wound. We have to suck out the bullet and accompanying lead poison. What happens if I get scurvy?
That's not how scurvy works.
I'm sorry, lady.
Not my name.
Jury's still out. But I happen to know for a fact that nobody knows how scurvy works. That's why it's called scurvy. There's a question mark in the name.
It's a disease contracted when you have a lack of vitamin C, the scientific name for which is ascorbic acid. I see someone wouldn't last in single elimination Tasmanian death trivia.
Oh no, Augie. I'm just hearing gibberish now. This has got to be the last stage before the end. Yep. Here comes the tongues!
Griffson. Oh. Griffson. Fine.
Ah! Why would you slap my face? You know I bruise there.
Slap meditation, as practiced by the high monkeys from Scotland.
That's another one out for trivia.
Now, Griffson, you're fine. Lilith, would you mind getting the sure?
Done.
Thanks. Now, what are you even doing here?
I always sneak into the Institute at night and use the typewriters. I told you I've been out of ink for weeks and I've got to get fresh pages to the cast and crew every morning. Do you even listen to me when you're getting ready for bed?
Why don't you just buy more ink with the money you're making from the movie?
Because, Augie, I use that money for things I want, like fresh pressed fruit juices and this page hat. I don't want to waste it on things I need. Which reminds me, I'm going to need to get the entire cast and crew of my movie into the show tomorrow night.
What? No way we can do that. We're almost completely sold out.
We are?
We are.
Oh my God.
What?
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, I know.
Are you nervous?
Honestly, a little.
Yeah, I'll bet. Beauty of live theater, things could always go terribly, horribly wrong.
That's the beauty?
You make a great point.
Hey, it's what I'm here for. And who might you be, my bespectacled assassin?
Trust me, if I did try to kill you, you'd know.
Oh yeah? What makes you so sure?
This is Lilith von...
Lilith is fine. Plain Lilith. I'm Dr. Bailey's assistant here in the Physics Department of California Polytechnic.
A likely story, Lilith von Lilith is fine. And I suppose it explains why you're in this room here and now. But it doesn't explain why you're making my best friend an accomplice to a murder most foul.
You know Lilith. I've told you about Lilith.
I'm sorry, you've told him about me?
Just like in passing.
Wait, this is that Lilith?
Yes, this is that Lilith.
What exactly is so special about that Lilith?
Nothing. Nothing is special.
Nothing? Augie, she has a gun. Maybe I should give this guy a shovel to dig his own grave. Am I right? I'm sure you're very special.
A shovel? What would that even accomplish? As soon as you knew you were using any tool to construct your own grave, the workmanship would be inconsistent at best and interminably long at worst. It's always more successful to have the person dig their grave under the guise of moral penance, exercise, or a friendly single elimination wood sport competition between rivals.
So, that... Huh.
Lilith's our lead actor.
Now that's something I can go with. Wow! An actor! You must be kidding.
I'm not.
That seems unbelievable to you?
No. Just, wow! Here I am, getting fatally wounded by the hands of giants. I'm honored.
You're not wounded.
Debatable. So great to finally meet you.
Likewise.
Like, totally wise, as they say. So, are you nervous?
No, not at all. Why would I be nervous?
Well, lead in a play and all. Helping my best friend's life work come to life. Being the deciding factor on whether or not Augie here has spent the majority of his adult life creating an era-defining work of self-congratulatory glory or forever cascading him down the erratic toilet of college theater.
Well, when you fucking put it that way.
Yes, well, I'm not nervous. Because we have something special up our sleeves. Something amazing and scientific and extraordinary. So no, Mr. Griffson, I'm not nervous. Not nervous at all. I've skied the Alps with Eastern European spice traders. I've gone cage shark diving in the waters of Fiji in a dissolvable cage. I've rescued princes with overgrown man buns from themselves. I'm fine. I am ready. I am completely comfortable and ready to be on stage.
Well, you don't need to convince me anymore. Everything sounds tip-top and ready to be shaped like a ship. So, like I said, it'll just be me and a few to all members of the cast and crew of RKO's big-budget awards contender, The Glorious and Mournful Sort.
Is that the title?
I'm afraid it is.
That's too many adjectives.
That's what I said.
Well, it's a good thing you two critical canaries aren't producing it, isn't it? So, Augie... Tickies.
Ugh, why? What reason could they possibly have to come to the first performance of a never-before-produced biographical school play? No offense.
It's your play.
Support across mediums. That's why. Because the theater is dying and the pictures want to put them on life support.
I don't like this metaphor.
All right, fine. I'll tell you the truth.
Don't know what I did to deserve that.
You didn't even press him that hard.
He didn't need to. I know that look.
Vague annoyance?
Specific annoyance. At me. Look, we need to shoot a new ending to the movie because that family we performed the fake hypnotism act on back in Paris in 1933, the Globs, you remember.
Oh, no.
You don't?
I do.
Oh, thank God.
Go on.
Okay, so, fun fact, turns out the Globs happen to be financially backing our whole production. I don't know why I just found this out now. Maxine said it was in the official legally binding contract, but I'm sticking by a story that I never got one because I've technically never joined a union and am generally used to being exploited. Although I am feeling like I'm getting to that stage in my career where not being in a union may be doing me more harm than good.
Get on with it.
Right. So, long story short, we can't film the ending of our film because our actors can't act.
Classic.
I'm right here.
Well, you don't count.
Why don't I count?
Hey, trying to tell a story here.
Right, sorry.
Apologies.
One minute you get shot, then the next you can't even...
You didn't get shot.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Augie, a little help here for your best friend.
Remind me where I shot you again?
In the arm.
You mean the leg?
Aha! She admits it! I'll never walk again, Augie.
You just said it was your arm.
Which is near the leg. Augie, I don't have time to explain anatomy to this actor.
I'm a scientist.
I get it. We've all had a survival job. My whole life I've wanted to be a writer, but every day I still had to go to my job as a child of rich parents.
Just finish your story.
Okay. I just got to get back in headspace to...
Slap meditation.
Okay. So... We have to film a new spectacular ending to the movie since our actors can't pull off a full character arc. And we have to film it tomorrow. And I thought, hey, you know what's a true spectacle? The theatrical interpretation of the historical disappearance of a theater at the opening night of a college production of a new play. That's what. And this is like the fourth most important thing. If we don't film a new ending tomorrow at your play, the Globs, you remember, are going to pull the plug on the whole picture, putting hundreds of men, dozens of script girls, and the best canine actor outside of Gary, Indiana, out of work, thus making it entirely your fault if you don't agree to it. I mean, I don't want to put this on you, but a man has already lost an eye on set waiting for you to say yes.
He's joking, right?
I wish I could say that I was. So, Augie?
So, you...
Do you want me to tell it again? I can tell it again.
You want to film your ending... at my play tomorrow.
Okay, great. You've got it.
Oh, my God.
I know. The pictures are an exciting she-temptress. Augie, you won't even know that we're there. You've seen cameras today. They're smaller than the Pasadena Wienermobile.
We could be filmed?
Don't let it affect your performance at all. Everyone knows acting for film and acting for stage is the exact same thing.
Augie, we could be filmed.
Filmed. Yes.
And?
It's a... Augie?
Yeah, yeah, that is. You know, I just don't really feel comfortable putting my work on film, you know? So I just...
Oh, come on! Think of it like this. It's a lifelong document. A living testament to your work. Something you can always look back on. And that the world will see and say, yeah, that was my amateur theater production happening in the climax of that multiple Academy Award-winning movie.
I hate to say this, but he's right.
I am.
Augie, don't you see?
You could be talking about so many different things right now.
Every audience member who sees this movie will be able to see the Vanishing Box work.
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone knowing this technology exists, it'd be the biggest breakthrough in scientific history. And everyone who's ever been affected by that cursed disaster will know that it can be replicated.
And that all that was done by a woman. Now that sounds pretty, pretty progressive, if you ask me.
I didn't.
Yeah, you know, as soon as I said it, I realized how it sounded.
Right. I hear you. But, like, the thing about that is that the theater is...
Dying?
Too niche?
Regurgitating the same 5 plays until we die?
No, wow. It's just, like, it's an in-the-moment thing. In one moment, and gone, the next, never replicable. That's what's so beautiful about it.
Wow, that sounds like a thesis of some kind.
Oh, bugger, sorry, that was me. It was.
But think of how many more people will be exposed to that beauty if we pull this off. Think of how many people will want to see your play and know about Lamarck and have you to thank.
That all sounds... Yeah, I mean, when you appeal to that part of me, you're sure about this, Lilith?
I actually think I am. I think this is good.
Wait a minute. Lilith? Lilith? Oh my, Lilith Heisenberg.
Von Hitzler.
McCarthy.
Right, sorry.
Augie's told me all about you.
He has? Like what? What did he tell you? What did he say?
Well, like how he's been trying to find you for nearly 4 years. How you have a ton of overly specific stories from your past that sound like they may be overcompensating for a more settled life. How you used to be a student, but now you're older, so things shouldn't be weird anymore.
He said what?
That's not Grifson.
I meant he didn't think it was weird anymore. I'd probably still have hang-ups about it, but I'm a bit of a tortured soul in so much as I've never really understood the whole teacher attraction, if you know what I mean.
Oh, please. If you could even get it up, you'd lay anything that gave you the time of day, mineral, fruit, or vegetable.
I told you my penchant for ripe honeydew is not a sex thing.
Why else would someone like honeydew?
Because it's always there!
Hey!
What?
You.
That's me.
Just who exactly are you?
Oh, of course. I'm C.W. Grifson? Screenwriter? The guy who wrote the most recent RKO prestige drama, The Glorious and Mournful Sort? It's been in Daily Variety.
Yes, I've gathered all of that from context clues. But who are you that you know so much about me?
His best friend. Wait. So, Augie, you didn't tell her anything about me?
I've been busy.
We've been here for nearly 4 months.
Don't take it too much to heart, Griffberg.
Griffson.
Sure. Augie and I just aren't on that level of friendship yet.
We're not?
No, we're not. Contrary to what you may think, Augie, you don't know every part of my life. I don't talk to you about my friends out of the office.
You tell me about your billions of adventures abroad all the time.
Ooh, adventures? Like what?
I took a gap year for a few years.
You have no idea how much I identify with that.
Sorry for only thinking of your life in the context of me, the machine, and your alter ego.
An adventurer and an alter ego? Ooh, do tell.
It's a long story.
I'm comfortable.
Where did you get popcorn?
I work in the movies, Augie. This Joker.
You really think my current life consists of only three elements?
Mine does.
Well, mine doesn't. I have my job, I have you, I have my work. Friends, my friends from my weekly... I'm considering taking a class. I have a cat.
You do?
What's its name?
It doesn't matter. Lionel. It's a play on the big cat. Lions. But with the harmlessly common human name. Lionel. He was a stray. I found him in a box by the Frosty Boy.
This all sounds very specific.
Where is there a Frosty Boy around here?
All right, fine. I don't have a cat. The point is, the machine is just one aspect of my extremely fulfilling life, albeit the most important part at the moment.
Amazing! You know, Augie's an obsessive too.
I'm not an obsessive.
Spoken like a couple of true obsessives. You know, I've always felt... Augie, do you want to stop jiggling the door? I'm in the middle of a revelation.
I'm not jiggling the door.
Well, if you're not jiggling the door, and I'm not jiggling the door, then... Lilith?
Quiet, idiots. Someone's outside. Stomach crawl formation. Move!
Oh, God, I can't die like this. I'm not ready.
Get in the closet, quick.
Fuck, don't make a joke, don't make a joke, don't make a joke.
Oh, come on, that's just lazy.
I'm in distress.
To quote you, that's no excuse.
Hurry up.
Righto.
I guess your leg is fine now.
Or there's so much adrenaline pumping through my body, I can't even feel it.
Oh yeah, and is that adrenaline also stopping the imaginary blood from gushing out of your wound?
Well, maybe it would be gushing out if you hadn't forgotten to tell Lilith about me.
'Cause that makes perfect sense.
The body can do amazing things under extreme duress. Mothers can lift cars off of babies.
You've never seen a mother lift a car off a baby.
Maybe I have, and I just forgot to tell you about it!
Will you both shut up? Whoever's out there is coming in.
Sorry.
Also, mothers can lift cars off babies. I've seen it.
Really?
A fucking course you have.
When I was hitchhiking across the Southwest, I don't think I went one full day without seeing at least two. Right. Quiet.
Okay, but I really want to hear the rest of that story.
Shh!
Oh my God. It's that Rhett D'Elia guy.
No, it's not.
What makes you so sure?
It isn't.
Well, I think it is. You know, I never got a good vibe from that guy. Always smelled like ladies' perfume. Garbo number 4, probably. One that says, I'm not trying hard, I just smell this good naturally.
Yeah, right.
No one smells that good naturally. You know, not the cheap kind, but the next one up.
How would you even know?
I mean... It costs more than Fatty Arbuckle's sensation line.
Not anymore.
Really?
So, how do you think Lilith smells right now?
Augie!
Please! She is a lady. I'm not going to smell her without her permission.
Exactly.
Now, Lilith, may I smell you?
Turn one nostril hair towards me and I will actually shoot you.
Fair enough. I'm just saying. Oh my God! Is that a gun?
It's not that she's happy to see you.
Point taken.
Is that dynamite?
Oh, fat lot of good that'll do. I've reinforced all the doors in this lab to be impenetrable to handheld explosives.
Right. That
means we're safe behind this door, too. Whew. You know, I gotta say, Augie, that while I still haven't forgiven you for not telling Lilith about me, I am very impressed by her foresight.
And as our intrepid group of misfits stayed hidden in the closet, so to speak, the trench-coated figure who had just broken into the room paced slowly through the rows of tables in Dr. Bailey's lab, until they got to a locked door. A door that Lilith knew led to the MacGuffin-esque vanishing box.
Two questions raced through my mind like a set of headlights down Mulholland on a weeknight. Who was this mysterious figure? And even more importantly, how did he know about the vanishing box?
Oh my God, is that?
Oh, hi.
Hi!
Good to see you.
Likewise, totally wise. So,
How have you been?
Honestly, right now, pretty concerned about this mystery man potentially destroying my machine, but aside from that, pretty good.
Oh, right, totally. Same here, same here. Who is this guy?
I've got a hunch.
Oh, you do? Who do you think it is?
I just want to say, I'm really proud of how quiet we've all been.
Shh!
Sorry.
He must be really struggling with that lock, huh?
Anyway, you were saying before we were so rudely interrupted.
If I had to guess, I'd say Grave Man. But then the question would come of how he knew about the box, and does this have to do with the campus murders?
Or Dr. Bailey. Maybe he's coming to do some late-night tinkering.
Without a travel buddy, he knows how dangerous it is coming here alone. After hours.
Yes, but he does have a sort of devil-may-care vibe about him, doesn't he? Or
he certainly wants people to think that.
Oh! Jinx!
Ah!
Yeah, he is not getting far with that lock.
Oh no! What do I owe you?
Maybe I'll just save it for a rainy day.
Well, I guess I have to check the weather report.
Well, it's California, so I'd say it's, pretty much always sunny.
I guess this is one of those times when being third person multiple helps.
It has its perks, sometimes.
Is it bad to say I'm kind of getting a little...
bored?
Honestly, yeah.
I can't tell if he has keys or he's trying to break in.
If only we knew who this guy was.
Oh, right, duh, I forgot. First person limited.
I beg your pardon?
I forgot that you only know her point of view, and you actually can't tell who this figure is.
Wait, you mean you know? And you were just letting me flounder out here?
Yeah, sorry, I just have to, And it was at that moment, in the glimmering light of the moon coming through the open window, our closet dwellers took note that the trench-coated figure before them was indeed Maximilian Bohr's casually cryptic chamberlain, first name unknown, Grave Man.
Ah! I knew it! I should have gone with my hunch.
Yes, well, now you know.
Now I know. It's Grave Man.
But wait, how do you know? He's just a butler.
Because, Augie... I have a hunch. Okay, I'm going out there.
Wait, Lilith, if it is Grave Man, that means it could also be the Slasher.
The what?
The Polytech Slasher.
Ooh, you've got to get a new name.
I know, right? He's the guy who's been going around campus killing random people in horrific ways.
There's been a murderer right across the street from our condo, and you're just now telling me?
I assumed you knew.
You know, I gotta say, I didn't.
Shh.
If it's really Grave Man, which I'm oddly positive it is, we have to make sure he doesn't make a run for it.
Right, because he's quick with the smoke bombs and whatnot.
What?
He uses the smoke bombs, you know, just like you. He's a member of your fancy authoritative skirmishes.
Administrative services. I have to tell him every time.
But that doesn't... How could he be... Unless...
Wait. So Grave Man's the Slasher?
Yes.
And you're sure he's in administrative services?
Yes.
But he's a butler.
Oh no, he's in. I gotta go get him before... He can't touch the machine!
Lilith, wait!
You both go ahead. I think my wingman duties are at a nice stopping point. I'm gonna stand guard back here.
Come on!
Okay, but watch the leg. I still think I was shot there.
And as Lilith approached the room, gun drawn, lab coat blowing in the wind, she came face to face with the man she fully expected to see. Polytech slasher, administrative serviceman, and apparently only part-time butler, Grave Man.
I knew it was you.
She just confirmed it.
She had a hunch.
Hands up and walk toward me, slowly.
Ah, Mr. Eckhart. So good to finally see you on this battleground, face to face, mortal rivals, lives finally come full circle.
Yeah.
A casual rebuttal for your casual demise. Wouldn't you rather have a nice build-up to your hero speech? Well, too late! Little did you know I had a speech prepared, too.
What did you do to my machine?
Your machine. How deliciously quaint. Confine the gun to your muscle here, eh, Eckhart? Fine. No one understands occupational hierarchy like me, my dear, for I am...
My name is Lilith, and I know who you are.
And you may think you do, but in reality, I am...
Sorry, that was me.
Ah, another one. And you are...
Here as well. Sorry, I just don't really want a murderer knowing my name. You understand.
I do. Now, if I may return to my speech... What is... Man, who are we? When I vanished the Théâtre des Tuileries...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. When you... What? I'm sorry.
Well, I was about to tell you before you...
Yeah, Augie, did you just interrupt him to ask him a question he would have answered if he just kept talking?
Yes, that is exactly...
Well, something caught my ear, and I wanted him to skip whatever bullshit he was about to vamp up with and cut right to the part that seemed weird.
Yes, and let's discuss the weird, as you say, when I vanished the...
All I'm saying is he's obviously a very alarming and intimidating figure. No offense. And he very well may be a murderer. Again, no offense.
You must be referring to the slashings that I've conducted around...
Sorry, not done. And now you... You... Wouldn't you know it? I lost my train of thought.
Well, if you would allow me to continue, you'd be stupefied to know that I...
Vanished the occupants of the Théâtre des Tuileries, which is impossible because that happened over 200 years ago and was done by...
Yes! Yes! You've worked it out, Eckhart. What a clever little duckling you are. And although I would have wanted more ceremony behind my reveal, as we say in the theater, the show must...
Oh my, get on with it.
Fine. Fine, you middling hobbyist. There is no grave man. There is only my true identity, Jean Jacqueline
Lamarck.
Plot twist!
Yes, Lamarck. Lamarck, Lamarck, Lamarck. Let me finish. It is my name to say, not yours, or yours, or yours!
Augie?
I didn't say anything.
But how is that even...
Augie?
And I do so look forward to your little skit tomorrow night. You'll understand, I just wanted to admire your interpretation here and administer some hands-on feedback before the performance. For authenticity's sake.
Augie!
Oh, my... What?
Get down.
Huh?
Ta-ta!
Jesus! Oh.
God damn it!
Oh, no. Augie, are you shot now?
Damn it! He's gone! He's gone!
It may be a bad time, but is she okay?
You're right.
I am?
It's a bad time.
Noted.
He compromised the machine. I know he did.
What'd he do? Does it look any different?
From the outset, no. It looks the same. But there's no telling with him. We have no idea what it may be capable of now.
So, are we just gonna ignore the fact that that butler somehow thinks he's a 17th century stage magician?
Augie, did you hear me? We may be compromised here.
Compromised by what? A delusional butler?
Murdering butler.
Murdering butler, thank you. A delusional murdering butler who, I mean, I don't even know how he would have found out about Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck. I specifically centered my life around that historical anecdote because I thought no one else knew about it.
I don't know, Augie. How sure are you that he's not telling the truth?
Because it would mean that he's a 260-year-old stage magician? And that's just...
Exactly the kind of dark magic that you've been thinking was behind his whole disappearance in the first place.
Yeah, but there are limits, you know.
Sure. But then again, what if the limits were wrong? Think about it, Augie. Do you know how to use a smoke bomb?
No, but I literally don't think knowing how to use a smoke bomb means you're from a different point of history. I mean, right? Right? Lilith?
I hate to tell you, Augie, but that's exactly what it means.
I'm sorry, what?
Throughout time, we've heard stories. Some call them magicians, some witches, some fiscal conservatives. But the commonality in every one of these legends? Magic, appearance, disappearance, reappearance. For the past 100 or so years, the title of Administrative Services stands as a formal guise, a non-enticing moniker dissuading any and all interested parties from further investigation. A facade allowing those of us who were displaced a way to find each other in plain sight.
Us?
I had heard the rumors, seen the signs, the elaborately staged murders, the smoke bomb residue, but it turned out Lamarck was hiding under my nose this whole time. I just never thought it would be the butler!
Hey, it's always the butler.
So, you... Can we go back to your use of us?
Yes, us. Those of us who were displaced throughout time and place. Those of us who were in the cursed audience of the Théâtre des Tuileries the night of Lamarck's vanishing act.
So you... What?
Hey, guys. For as many questions as I definitely also have about all of this, I think he left this card behind for us.
What does it say?
It says... Whew. Is it dark in here, or is it just me?
Give me that!
You know, Augie, you keep telling me to get glasses. I think it's finally time I take that plunge.
Complimentary ticket request. 2 tickets for Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck.
Shoot! It's in writing.
I'd say that confirms it.
So, I take it that means I can still get comps?
The Vanishing Act is written and directed by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. This episode was sound designed by Hannah Forschler, with myself, Daniel Eddie Williams, as sound design team lead. And original music composed by Baltimore. This episode featured Sarah Price as Augie Eckhart, Tina Munoz-Pandya as Lilith von Hitzler, Daniel Milhouse as Conrad Webley Grifson, Chris Fizaraga as Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck, David Blixt as narrator 2, and Lauren Grace Thompson as the narrator. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at VanishingPod or on our website, vanishingpod.com. Join us next time for Part 12, The Vanishing Act.
You want to join our troop?
You want to join our troop?
I do, if that's acceptable.
That's more than acceptable. That's fantastic. Let me be the first to officially welcome you to the Caravelle traveling...
Out of the way, molten glass coming through.
Hey, move your feet. You're standing on the hem of the general's coat.
What is death but the next stage in our paradigm?
I'm explaining it badly, aren't I?
This is all very different from what I was expecting.
For heroes are not meant to be forged through destiny.
Were you admiring my perpetual motion wheels here? I've got big plans for these bad boys.
For months now, I've been searching for a way to serve a greater purpose, and I think with you, I've found it.
Trust me, Leona. The troop is gonna love you.
Starfall, a fantasy audio drama. Premiering July 23rd.
I think I understand that.